The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I would ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. Good morning. Everyone's still making their way up. Come on up, have a seat. Good morning. Oh, good morning. So, I have a question for you guys this morning. Do you know who we heard about in the first reading this morning? You guys know who we heard about? We heard about a man whose name was Stephen or Stephen, right? You guys know anyone with that, ever heard that name before? No, even if you met anyone named Stephen? It's still a name that we use today, right? And so do you guys know the stories about Stephen? Have you ever heard about Stephen before? All right. So we learn about Stephen in the book of Acts, okay? And Acts is a book all about the very first people to believe in Jesus who wanted to follow him, okay? And so Stephen was one of the first people to believe in Jesus. And he was going to go do ministry to help people hear the gospel, to help people hear about Jesus. And Stephen, we talked about it a little bit in this reading, but Stephen is the first martyr in the church. Have you guys ever heard the word martyr? Have you ever heard the word martyr? Maybe. Do you know what a martyr is? A martyr is someone who died because they were faithful to Jesus. And that's what happened to Stephen. Does it sometimes make you sad if you hear about someone dying? Does that seem like something that could happen? Yeah? And at the same time, we have learned to give thanks because of Stephen and his witness. Because Stephen was not afraid to preach the gospel. And do you know why he wasn't afraid to preach the gospel? Because he believed in the resurrection, which is what Jesus promised. So that Stephen knew that even if he died, he was going to go be with Jesus. So it wasn't a sad thing for him, right? He was able to rejoice and be happy and not be afraid. And so we're going to hear more about Stephen in today's sermon, but I had a question. So does anybody know, when we celebrate, Stephen is a saint in the church, and we have a special day just for Saint Stephen. And does anyone know when it is? Does anyone know when it is? It's December 26th. It's the day after Christmas. Because Stephen is so important for the church that we begin with Jesus at Christmas, and the day after Christmas, we give thanks for Stephen and his witness. And so we're going to hear some more about Stephen today. And so that's all I have. Would you guys pray with me real fast? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the faithful witnesses who have come before us. Amen. You guys can head back. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Grace to you and peace, brothers and sisters, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together upon him. They stopped their ears. Stephen was one of the first seven people chosen by the apostles to serve in that ministry of service. This group, which we now refer to as the first deacons of the church, including Stephen, were chosen by the apostles, commissioned, and had hands laid on them to take care of part of the work of ministry in the early church, the distribution of food and alms to the widows and others who could not care for themselves. Stephen was, by all accounts, highly regarded among the early community of believers, and the Holy Spirit was with Stephen. While it is less common to run into a deacon in a Lutheran church today, there are still some other traditions which maintain the historic orders of ordination, which includes deacons. And these deacons today, like Stephen, are still ordained, and their bishop will come and lay hands on them, and they are called to a ministry of word and service, similar to how a pastor or a priest is called to a ministry of word and sacrament. And there are very few people who would object to distributing food to those in need, those who, in that society, did not have adequate mechanisms of self-preservation. And while Stephen was called into a two-part ministry of word and service, it was not in any particular act of service that he ran into trouble. Because Stephen was also called to preach the word. And it was in that particular charism that he ignited the wrath of those who would stone him to death. Stephen had developed a reputation among the early community of believers as someone who could speak, who could really preach the gospel. And he was well regarded among them in this capacity. However, we know from the life of Jesus that it was the custom of the day to preach or teach or have theological discussions in the synagogue. And to the extent that Stephen was held in high regard among the followers of Christ, he was equitably despised by the temple leaders in the region. After all, they had not been excited about Jesus, so it stands to reason that they would not be excited about one of his followers vocally proclaiming the gospel of Christ in the temple. And like they did with Jesus, they tried to bait him or provoke him with questions, and they testified falsely against him to the elders. Eventually, Stephen, like Jesus, was accused of blaspheming in the temple. And then he spoke to defend himself. Or at least he spoke to answer their charges. What got Stephen in trouble was this. He began to tell the history of God and his people. He began all the way back in Genesis, talking about Abraham and Isaac, and about Jacob and his sons, all the way through Moses and the deliverance from Egypt. And for German Lutherans, the great theological word for this salvation history is the Heilsgeschichte. It's that whole history of God working with his people to deliver them. Stephen was reciting that whole salvation history of God's people. And in talking with the temple leaders, he walked them right up to the point where, in no uncertain terms, he accused them of having murdered the righteous one of God, of having killed God's Son, Jesus Christ. He recited that whole salvation history, and he pointed to Christ as the way in which God is now saving his people. And Stephen did not mince words talking to those who sought to work against the gospel. This was something they did not want to hear. They stopped up their ears because they did not want to hear the gospel. The gospel is a dangerous thing. It is a dangerous thing because when you hear it, it sticks with you. no matter how hard you try to push it away. Someone on that council had it stick with them. Someone in that room did not stop up their ears. And we know this because we otherwise would not have the report of Stephen's last words before they grabbed him up and threw him out of the city and stoned him. Stephen spoke of a vision. Knowing what was coming, he spoke of a vision of Jesus Christ standing in glory at the right hand of the Father. As they grabbed him up to cast him out and stone him to death, Stephen was already focused on the future. He was looking towards the resurrection, when we will finally be with the Messiah in all his glory. The gospel is a dangerous thing because the message of Jesus Christ, the message of the Son of God who has died so that you may have eternal life, this is a message people will die for. Stephen took this message and proclaimed it where it was not a welcome thing. Without hesitation, he willingly went to speak the gospel to people who he knew would be willing to hurt or even kill him. And that is what they did. As the mob gathered around him, worked up into such a frenzy that they were taking off layers of clothing due to their exertion, Stephen, faithful to the end, prayed for them. He asked God not to hold their sin against them. He wanted for them the forgiveness of sins which Christ has promised us. To be surrounded by people who are not merely wanting to kill you, but are actively working at it, and to pray that they would experience grace. This is the power of the gospel. Stephen still wanted them to experience grace. In his last moments, he was praying for those who were killing him, and he asked God to receive his spirit. Stephen knew the gospel of Christ, and he, just like the Messiah, had also been brought up in the same scriptures as every other Jew in the synagogue. So when Stephen heard or read or maybe even chanted the words in our psalm today, in Christ, the fullness of their meaning was truly revealed to him, just as it is to us. Words like these were meant to also be words of the gospel. Because when we pray, "In thee, O Lord, do I seek refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In thy righteousness deliver me." The scope of this prayer is not simply for deliverance from our earthly enemies. It is a proclamation of hope in the resurrection. It is to know that through Jesus Christ, we have an eternal home prepared for us, where we will be with Him for all eternity. It is to know that the judgment of the world cannot shame us for following Christ, because that judgment does not have bearing on our salvation. Stephen knew these words, and he was anchored in them just as we are meant to be. Like him, we are meant to know that in every moment of trial, Jesus Christ is our strong rock and our fortress, the stronghold who will keep us safe. He is the one who has made it so that in the end, we will not be caught in the net, ensnared in the trap of sin the devil has set for us. Jesus Christ is the one who has delivered us from this. Stephen knew these things. He knew what it meant to really pray this psalm with the promise of the gospel. And it was these words which he echoed, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit," when he went to take his rest in the Lord. To this day, the church continues to echo these words and point to the resurrection. We pray, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." In our compline, our night prayer every night. And as we pray them, we follow our cues from Stephen, praying in thanksgiving to the God who has redeemed us. In these last words, echoed from the Psalter and on the lips of the first person martyred for the risen Christ, we too can pray them and give thanks to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knowing that when we take our rest in Christ, even if it comes in a very different way than it did for Stephen, He is going to bring us home to Him. Amen.